living the full bloom of Jesus' life in you, the fullness of the life that Jesus gave us. Every Christian should live that, because that's why Jesus died. And I want to make us aware of something. Please, I want you to listen to me. You need to be aware, seriously aware, that the thing that the enemy attacks viciously is the gospel. He attacks it so viciously that when Paul was preaching it, he raised a lot of hell for Paul. He raised so much trouble for Paul from outside the church, from within the church. He followed Paul everywhere and harassed the man everywhere to make him stop preaching this. But Paul said, none of these things, what? Move me. So I don't care about it. Neither count my life as anything so that I will preach this gospel and finish this thing that God gave to me. The enemy doesn't want you and I to hear the gospel. He doesn't want you and I to understand it either. He will come and convince you. He will minimize it, trivialize it, and make sure you put your faith in something else. And as long as you put your faith in something else, it's fine with that, because you know that that is quicksand. But you see this gospel? I'm telling you, he will try to throw, dampen your enthusiasm. Want you to put it in the back burner. But my brothers and sisters, the coming of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus is the most important thing in this world. Any Christian who doesn't know that has missed his way. Jesus didn't come here to play games. This is the only plan God has to restore you and I to the glory that we had, that God had intention for. There's no other plan to restore mankind to glory except what Jesus did. And if the Christian deviates from focusing on that, he will be living in quicksand. He'll be wasting his time. You see, when man fell, the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen what? Short of the glory of God. Do you understand what that means? What it means is that we were no more what God made us to be. By creation, God reveals his glory by creation, by what he does. That's how God reveals his glory. He reveals his power. He reveals his character. He reveals by what he does. And so, when he created Adam and Eve, that was his work, the handwork that revealed his glory. Revealed his glory, what he did. But when they sinned, they lost that nature. So they were not exactly what God did. That was why they didn't have that glory anymore. They were no more what God did. They lost that glory. And Jesus' purpose of coming was to restore us to what? That glory. So when Jesus came, he died for us so that we created new. We become new creation. God made us another work. He did a new work in us. Made us new creation. He pulled us away from the power that caused all this trouble called the devil and sin. He gave us the robe of righteousness just to restore us to what God had in mind in creating man, the glory of God. There is no other thing a human being will do here that will bring that glory to you except what Jesus did. Nothing else. And so the enemy will want to blind you from it. We want you to do rituals. Want to do all manner of things, but he doesn't want you to know that it's through Jesus that this was offered to us free of charge. Now read the scripture and see it for yourself. In 2 Corinthians, I think. Second Corinthians 4:3. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, New Living Translation, it is hidden only from people who are what? Perishing. Because the only way not to perish is by faith in Christ Jesus. Then verse 4. Satan, see what I'm telling you, who is the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe this thing. Who don't believe it. Who think it's a joke. Who think it's not important. It doesn't show up in their radar. I mean, they live without it. I mean, life is good. I have jobs. Everything is going okay. Sorry, sir. You are not living the good success. He said they blinded the minds of those who don't believe it. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So the devil will try to blind the Christian. I will bring all manner, make keep you so busy. He will make you watch all manner of movies, watch all manner of television. He will see to it. He will try to knock you off. That's his ministry. To blind people. To blind people from the glorious light of the gospel. If you remove the gospel, you have no light. Walk in darkness. So that's what it does. And so, listen to me, my brothers and sisters. In these last days, he's even more furious because his days are numbered. And so, you need to understand that for you to walk in the gospel and understand it, you have to fight a spiritual battle. You must engage. It's not a joke. He tries to convince you this not work. He tries to deceive. The Bible said this is the man that deceived the whole world. So for you to walk in the gospel, I'm telling you the truth, you have to get ready, tie your wrapper, and make sure you fight it out and dig it out and resist him. Otherwise, he will dampen your spirit. And he does this slowly. You know, he's such a deceitful spirit that he comes, you know, he wiles of the devil. He comes gradually with false reasoning that is contrary to the gospel. False reasoning, false stronghold, thoughts and imaginations that are contrary to what Jesus did. He comes gradually, you know, gradually putting emphasis on some things that are religious for you. And that's what he did to the Jews. They trusted, they were working hard to produce righteousness. And the Bible said they didn't get it. They rejected the one God gave them. And Paul was crying. He said, I wish these people would be saved. They're all perishing. He said they have zeal for God, but the knowledge they don't have. So you must understand that this thing we are preaching here is not a casual thing. It's not, your life depends on it. It's not a casual thing. You got to know that. You got to engage. You got to pray. You got to study. You got to be. Look, you need to be really, really on purpose. Make up your mind that I will understand this thing. I'll walk in it and I'll go all the way, whatever it takes me. And so Paul was talking to the Galatians. Look at what it took him in preaching this thing. Galatians 4:19. He said, my little children, of whom I travail. Of whom I what? Travail in birth again. He's done it before. He said, I'm doing this again until Christ be formed in you. Why is he doing it again? They took their eyes off Jesus. An entire church took their eyes off Jesus and they started ritualism. And Paul said, you are crazy. How can you do this? And Jesus was shown to you. You understood this gospel. Now you moved away from him. He said, now I have to go back and start praying for you again, teaching this thing again. Until Christ is formed in you, until this new glory that Christ brought us is manifesting in your lives again, I have to travel like a woman in labor to give birth again. Again. Why is he traveling? He said, I had to fight with beasts in Ephesus. Beasts in the church in Ephesus. He said, I had to fight them. He said, there were all these false doctrines going around. We had to resist them. And you need to wake up and also join and make sure that you protect yourself from all the assault of demonic spirit to confuse people and to make you look down on the gospel. Somebody sit up and say, I'm hearing this again. Go and watch what Paul preached. Paul preached nothing else except Christ and him morning, afternoon, night. That's all he taught people. He wasn't into a lot of things. And when Jesus came, Jesus wasn't into a lot of things. If you watch him, he was concise. He was targeted. He was focused. He was preaching. He was emphasizing about himself, revealing himself, talking about himself. And the Holy Spirit came to reveal him to the church. Nothing else. How many of you have eaten rice before? Okay, some have not. What do you eat? Couscous? Is that couscous they call it? There's this thing that looks like rice. Couscous. Eh? What do they call it? Couscous. Couscous is like rice. It's like one Egyptian something. My wife and I, they invited us to dinner. This is supposed to be a huge dinner, so we went expecting to eat. God, you have never seen a thing like that. And they decorated this thing so well. All these white people, so we came. I think we were the only black people. So we sat at our number. They served the first course. I said, is this? Then they now brought the main course. It's couscous or whatever. I'm not joking. With one small fish. This fish is so small. And then they put flour on top of the fish. Put flour. I'm telling you, flour on top of the fish. And serve me as full, the main course. I ate it in 3 spoons. Everything was good. I was very hungry. So they brought us. God, have you seen anything like? So they brought us the last course, small ice cream. Immediately we left there. I said to my wife, I'm going home to eat garri right now. I'm very hungry. Right now, I'm going home. I want to go and eat garri. So you eat rice in the morning, you eat it again, you eat it again. You don't say, I've eaten rice before, I'm not eating again. You continue to eat. The gospel is food, man. If you get into the revelation, there's no you can't get to the depth of it. I'm not kidding you. Every time you preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit takes you into deeper. You see? Every time you hear the gospel, you go deeper. Every time you hear the gospel, your root goes deeper. And the deeper your root is, the stronger you are. And when winds blow, because your root is deep in it, you stand tall. Stand tall. That's why we sing it, on Christ the solid rock, what? Let's stand. It goes deeper. It goes deeper. Paul said, I travel. This is it. Do you have any story to tell about Jesus, apart from Jesus? What else? What else? 7 steps to this. Always tough time. All that 7 steps is what Jesus did that matters to God. Look at Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We need to. We ought to give the more, I read it to the women yesterday, the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Lest at any time we should let them what? Slip away. That's what my son was preaching here, Onyeka. He's saying to have a grip on the truth. My brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. It's not good news. But as I live my life and as I interact with Christians and all over, many Christians are not serious with the gospel. They don't even think it's important. They love religion. They love all those religious activities. And they think that that's Christianity. I'm not kidding. If you hear what we say, I was asking the women yesterday, I said, how can I be a Christian? 10 years. The same thing I was known for before I got saved, I'm still known for it with it. Anybody that deals with me closely dictates it immediately. The same thing. Even sometimes it's worse now. It's worse now. What is that glory now that Jesus restored us to? I'm telling you, many Christians, the gospel is not even, it's just something they give mental accent to. It's not there. No, it's not there. They would rather talk up, do another thing. They would have pray. How about the gospel? Forget it. But the gospel is the basis on which you pray. It's the basis. If that foundation is not on Christ, that don't care what you are doing, it's on quicksand. Many. And even when we talk, you hear it from our words. We're careless about it. We don't even miss it. It's not. That's why people don't preach it now, because they don't see the importance. They don't see what it does for them. So they have problems, they look for a man of God that will come and remove the problem. trusting that there must be a man of God, going from place to place, pray for me, lay hands on me. The Bible says, listen, give heed to these things. Therefore, we ought to give more honest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip off. God wants this word in our heart. He wants it planted in our heart. There are competing words. There are competing things coming to us at any time. But God wants his word to be the dominant factor, because that's what produces life. That's what brings this thing into manifestation in our lives. And then, why should it be in our heart? It should be in our heart because when it's in our heart, it comes out in our mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the man speaks. When it is in your heart, it will show up in your mouth. And so God wants us to have it in our heart and not forget it. The Bible says forgetful hearers are simply deceiving themselves. Not to forget it. Isaiah 59, verse 21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, said the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee and my words that I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of thy mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, said the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Forever. God wants this gospel in my heart and wants me to talk about it. And so when I hear people talk sometimes, they talk what's not the gospel. And they laugh about it. They really laugh about it. You wonder. And they think, things are not working okay for me. It's okay, shall I trust God? Really? You don't understand what you're talking about. And I hear people talk about it, describe themselves in terms of nothing that has to do with what Jesus said and what Jesus did. Believe me, my brothers and sisters, if you are ashamed of this word, Jesus said it. He said, if you are ashamed of my word, I will not confess you before my Father. I will not. If you are not going to believe my word that I did it, and you can't even acknowledge it, if you are ashamed of it, you can't even say that. He said, before the Father, I have nothing to confess. I don't confess you now. I'm not going to do that because you're ashamed of me. And then the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So God wants this word in our heart so that we show off in our mouth, because it is when it shows up in our mouth that it creates the reality. It creates that glory that Jesus died to restore us to begins to manifest. It begins to show. Because you speak life. Jesus brought life. But that life has to come out of my mouth. That's why the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord what? Say so. You keep saying so. I was telling the women, this is not a joking matter. You know, I had a pastor that God told, he said, the Christians are missing it because they are not saying what I said. There is power in the word. There is tremendous power, what? In the word. What we say is creates reality around us. It does. It does. It really does. And so the Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So I can create death, destroy my life, destroy my health, destroy my character, destroy everything. By what I'm saying. And while I'm saying that, I don't even know that I'm the one causing my trouble. But I also can create life by speaking the word of life. I was telling the women yesterday, I said, when God came to Abraham, I said to Abraham, I've made you a father of what? I've made you a father of what? Why didn't God walk away? Why did he say, I've made you, okay, it's going to work? No. Why did he change their name and say, you have to be calling it up? Why did he tell them, Abraham, you are no more Abraham, you are not Abraham. Sarah, you are no more Sarah, you are not Sarah. God should have said, I made you a father of many nations, and Abraham, go now. No, he knows that that word has to be in his heart and must come where? Out of his mouth for it to be a reality. So he made the man call This one called this one mother of many nations. This one called this one father of many nations. And people are calling them father of many nations, mother. And then the word is coming out and coming out and coming out. And as they call it, can you imagine initially, you are 76 and you're calling your wife mother of all nations, many nations. It will be odd initially. But as they continue to call it, the thing started building into their consciousness. And God wanted them to keep it in view. He said, keep my word in view. Keep it before your eyes. So he made them keep it in view by calling it. And when Abraham was having difficulty, he brought him, see what I'm telling you now. Look at the sky, see what I'm telling you now. Go back and call it. Go back and call it. And God says to us, let my word be where? Yeah. He said, I don't have to. Okay, don't have to now. Stop. They will see it. That's what Paul was saying. He said, the word of faith which we preach, he said, you don't have to say who will go and bring Jesus down now, because he's done everything, or bring him from the dead. He's risen from the dead. You don't have to say, can Jesus? No, he said, the word is your mouth. If you believe it in your heart, then say it with your mouth, that it come out of you. But it won't come out of you if you are not going to give it attention. If you think it's not important, if you think your life is running okay, everything is wonderful, wonderful, all you need to do is to come to church, sit down in the church, and they don't even listen to the God. Let them talk, and they go home, and they can't carry on just like that. You live a regular, normal life. That's all you live. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter 1:4. He said, we were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you. This is message. He said, you are tickets to participation in the life of who? Of God. After you turned your back on a world corrupted by lust, the moment you turn away from the world and come to Jesus Christ, he said, we have these promises to pass on to you that Jesus fulfilled. What are those promises? It's everything Jesus achieved on the cross. It's what God promised us. And that's what God did. He said, these are the things that make you participate in the life of God. You can't participate in the life of God by the laws of Moses. The laws of Moses is not part of the promise of God. It's not. It's these promises that Jesus fulfilled that gave you new life, that brought you new life, that cut away the nature of sin from you and created you new. Can I hear amen, church? He said, these things, the things that make you participate in the life of God. And the Bible says, listen to them. Let it be in your heart. Let my word dwell richly where? In your heart. First Peter 4:6. He said, we should remind brethren of all these things. Constantly remind them. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these, thou shalt be a what? You are not reading with me. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of what? These things, what will happen? Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. If you remind the Christians of these things, the Holy Spirit said, you are the type of minister I'm looking for. Because this has to be the foundational thing. This is the key message. This is sound doctrine. The words of faith. It nourishes people. It nourishes people. I'll come back to this 1 Timothy 4:6. Keep it somewhere for me. I'll come back to it. And so, can you put up the prayer thing, that seven things, and let's just go through these things. Just a reminder. Number one, let's read it. Number one, what? Forgiveness of sin. I want to remind you, every day you pray, please, go through these things and believe you, do it 3 months, 6 months, come and talk to me. Come and talk to me. You will see what will happen in your spirit. Come and talk. The Spirit of God will open you up to incredible revelations. You'll be amazed what your life will begin to turn into. You begin to thank him. The Bible says, forget not all. Am I in a strange place? Forget not what? Who forgiveth all? Don't forget it. Don't you forget it. That's why I say if you remind them of these things, you are a good minister. Because they will forget. Don't let them forget it. Remind them. Remind them. This is it. Forgiveth all thy sins. Forgives all our sins. He forgives what? I didn't hear you. He forgives all what? Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have, what do we have? How did we have the redemption? Through his blood. What is this redemption he's talking about? What is it? Huh? From this verse, what is it calling redemption? The forgiveness of sin. It's simple English now. In whom we have, it didn't say in whom we have redemption through his blood and no. It said in whom we have redemption through his blood, comma. Comma says this is what I'm talking about. What is it talking about? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We are redeemed from sin and all of its consequences through the blood of Jesus. He said this is what I'm talking about. He called it redemption. In whom we have redemption through his blood. What is this you are talking about? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The forgiveness of sins through his blood. Through his blood. Through his blood. And we should thank God every day for this. It cost God his son for our sins to be forgiven. It's free to me, but it wasn't free to God. He paid with his life for my sins to be forgiven. I should be grateful every day. It should be an exciting thing to wake up and say, Lord, I'm so grateful that Jesus paid with his blood that my sins are forgiven. Until this thing has to be built into my consciousness, until I begin to walk in the reality of it. What's the second one there? The second one, Alpha. Redeemed from what? Old nature, old life. And now have a new life from Jesus who lives where? In me. If any man is in Christ, do you know, I thank God every day. I say, Lord, I'm so grateful I'm not what I used to be. My testimony will never line up with what I used to be because I'm a new creature. I'm not the man that I used to be. I'm not the one that I used to be. You have taken away that thing out of me. I agree with you. I honor you, Jesus. I honor the cross. I accept your testimony. My life may be contradicting, I don't care. But I keep saying what he told me. Can I hear amen? I have a new nature. The Bible says the new life is Christ, the eternal life. I acknowledge him. I acknowledge him. The Bible said in all your ways, do what? Acknowledge him. I acknowledge him daily. 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 You say, Pastor, your life is not looking like that. Was Abraham looking like that? But God said, call yourself a father of many nations. Don't worry about how you look. So I acknowledge it every time. And it's so amazing what this gospel is teaching us. The gospel is teaching us we are no more slaves to the flesh. It says we are no more slaves to what? To the flesh. Because by the power of Christ in us, we can say no to the flesh. That's what Paul was writing in the book of Romans chapter 8. That we can say no. He said, we are no more slaves to sin, no more. No more, no more. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You are no more under the law. You have come under grace. We are under grace. Christ lives in me. And by the power of Christ, I can do all things. I have a new life, but I have to acknowledge it. I have to. What's the number three? Who healed what? All thy diseases. By the stripes of Jesus, we're healed. We say it, you may not believe it. I was hearing one testimony that blew my mind. This is a woman that was on the verge of death. And then the pastor said he'd been praying with her. And every time the woman would be saying, oh, the devil is about to kill me and everything. So he said they got frustrated. And the Lord told him to tell this woman, listen to this. to go and write this scripture, by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. He said, tell her to write it 10,000 times. How many times? 10. And the woman couldn't talk. She has cancer of the uterus, whatever. Couldn't talk and had few days to live. And then the woman went and started writing. He said, every time you write it, say it. The Lord told him, he said, tell her. Every time she writes it, let her say it. So she started to write it. I mean, if you want to leave, you write, no? So she started to write, I'm saying it, and wrote it 10,000 times. And came back to the same pastor with that. He said, these are the notebooks I've finished writing. And then he said, Pastor, you told me to write. And I said, yeah. He said, I finished writing. He said, okay. He said, is it not time to pray? He said, pray for what? Your voice is back. Everything is back now. He said, ah, the thing is gone. She didn't even know. This is a real story. Real story. He said, wow, this thing is gone. He said, when your voice is back now, you're talking. But when you came, you couldn't talk. Now you're talking. And no prayer, nothing. So they went to hospital and they confirmed there was nothing again. Why? God said, God knew her problem was she was not believing what Christ did. And said, let her write it. How many times? 10,000. And say it. Every time she writes, she should say it. And she was busy writing. He didn't even know when she started saying. The thing started coming. She didn't even know that. She didn't even know. He said, Pastor, I finished the assignment you gave me. So is it not time to pray? The pastor said, but you are talking. Somebody shout hallelujah. He healed all your what? This is either we believe the gospel or we don't believe the gospel. There are two ways about this. That's why I'm telling you. He said, these are the ways you participate in divine life. Divine life is a life of victory that overcomes everything. Now, we are redeemed from the power of what? Satan, sin, and the world. All of us. All of us. All of us. Brethren, can I hear amen? Who was I telling a story how they had a meeting in Ajegunle to come and kill me? When we were planting a church in Ajegunle. They had a meeting, the Landlords Association. And I didn't live in Ajegunle. So they decided I was targeted, they were going to kill me. What I want to tell you is that we are redeemed from the power of Satan. So this woman, the saint, came and sat in front like this. So immediately we said, let us pray, and then we started praise worship. She ran. The way she ran made me suspect something. So I told them to go after her. I didn't know, because I thought maybe she either had an emergency. I said, please go after that woman and find out what's wrong. So they went after her and then took her to a room, and I came in to find out if she needed medical attention. And all she was saying, I told them, I can't do it. I told them, I know feed them. I know feed them. I told them, I know feed them. They said, told who? It's a Landlords Association. What are you called? You know feed? They said, I know if you kill this man. I said, what do you mean? He said, they told me to come and kill you. God is my way. I'm telling you a real story. And she's been doing that. And they asked, I said, but what did they say I did now? They said, since you people came here, all our juju don't spoil. You know, they walk again. Since you not come here, everything here done perfect. So this man must be knocked out. Real story. I didn't even know. I never prayed against them. I didn't even know they existed. All I do was come conduct service, worship God, go home. But the presence of the Lord was there. Was there. Brethren, you know, we don't know how much power Jesus has. We belittle him. We don't understand how much power he exudes out of him. Incredible power. We don't even begin to imagine this Jesus that lives in you, what he can do. What he can do. Ajegunle, they had a meeting for me. How they got my name, I didn't know. But they got my name. And I said to the woman, so what did you come to kill me with? So she opened her. Because now she was afraid that I have another juju man. That was all her conviction. That this man must be meeting something or somebody. So she now was afraid. So she brought out her. I said, this is your small girl you carry in your bag? Is that all you have got? You can't even walk. You carry your God in your back. I said, come and worship the God that will carry you. We have a big God. He will carry you. This one you carry in your back doesn't have strength. Since he can't walk, can't do anything. Is that what you're serving? Do you know she was so afraid? She was shaking. She couldn't stay. She was so frightened. She believed she would die if we didn't let her. I said, let her go, let her go. She was really, really frightened, shaking. Jesus came and said to the whole world, all power in heaven and earth, and what? Under the earth is vested in me. All of it. All of it. So he delivered us from the power and kingdom of Satan and brought us into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen. We are blessed with all blessings of heaven. Jesus became a curse for us. The spirit life is not just character. It's also all the glory that God brought us back to. That's what I'm trying to emphasize here. All the glory. He said, all have sinned and fallen short of what? Glory. Jesus came and brought us righteousness and brought us back to all that full glory. So that whereas the character is showing in love and also, so you prosper in the things you do. You prosper as a husband. You prosper as a wife. You prosper as a husband. Amen. Say amen there. People should be paying dowry on me now. When we talk of prosperity, we go only look at money. It's not true. You prosper in every other thing. You act with divine wisdom. Wherever you come, your presence and the things you contribute makes all the difference. That's part of prospering. You prosper. You bring a source of blessing to others. When you come and people are cast down, you are the one that brings the word to lift them up. I said, there's a lifting up here. If you don't come, they miss you. But some people, if you don't come, they are very happy. They say, troublemaker didn't come today. So happy. And he'll come with a fat Bible. And with trouble in his heart. And the thing that makes me, can we stop this? You go to your place of work, you're a troublemaker, you're quoting Bible. Quoting scripture, you don't even agree. Yet you are a trouble. They know you as a troublemaker. You don't listen to your supervisors. You are so rebellious. You are gossip. You find fault everywhere. You are the brother of Satan. Rubbish Christianity. Go and study the thing you want to do. And learn it. You won't study. You won't take attention. You want the certificates. You're going to make money. When you go there, you are not efficient. And if they correct you, you say they are against me. They are a witch. It's not a witch. You are incompetent. Period. Don't know what you are doing. You don't have proficiency in what you are doing. You didn't learn it. You are not interested in helping people. You are looking for dollar. Fight with everybody. Fight with this. Fight. Everybody. Once you start coming, people start dodging. And then one day they say, God is on my side. God is not on your side. God said, let's stop all these things. Can we call a spade a spade? These things bring shame to the gospel. If you go to a walk and you are not doing well, be humble. And they will show you, yeah. And then your proficiency will improve. And with time, even people you work with begin to testify that, man, you are really good in this. It takes humility to rise up. It takes pride to what? Come down. My brothers and sisters, can I talk to us? It's in this world where we are. Why not here permanently? Don't behave as if to say this world belongs to you. You are the king of this world. It's time to learn to do what Jesus did. He made himself of no reputation. Come down. If they correct you, be happy. Be appreciative. You know, that's part of prospering. To be corrected is to make you prosper. They're helping you. somebody nobody corrects will finish himself. You know, let's leave. Look, there's beauty in humility. It's an incredible world of peace. Because you have not all this. No, you sleep very well. Some people, when they sleep, they fight. It will hit the husband. Boom! The husband say, what is that? Hey. Can I hear amen? Yeah. Humility is amazing. Brethren, the glory of God is not in man. No. That glory you are looking for is temporary. But the one that comes from God is permanent. You lifting up comes from God, not from you. I'm not kidding you. That you are humble and accepting correction. Oh, God is so happy when he wants to lift you up. When he lifts you up, oh man, it will be story. It will be story now. Don't lift yourself up and making yourself all this in this church, they don't recognize me. Yes, if they don't recognize you, God recognizes you now. Serve him in your corner. When I came to this country, I didn't tell anybody I was a pastor. Any people who know me here would testify. All I did was, anywhere I was serving in the carry chair, follow carry chair. In the church, I was following my brother-in-law to go. Sunday school, beginner's class, that's what I was. I was there, my wife was there with all my children. Didn't even bother. I was enjoying the class. I said, hey, so this is wonderful. No sermon on Sunday. I go to church and relax. I said, man, these people enjoy you. I was just enjoying myself. If they are carrying chair, I'll carry chair. What does it matter? At the fullness of time, God said, I want you to start. I didn't even start any church on my own. He told me what to start. He told me what to do. And I followed his instruction. And here we are. How many times have I come here and told you people, we are doing this project, contribute money. Have you heard it from me? But we bought this property, million point. Many of you didn't even know. Didn't even know. Really. Look, God is everything. If you let him be, he will be. But if you think you are, you are. And then the devil and the world will crush you. He taught me something. He said, my son, put me in front and stay behind me. He said, when you put yourself in front and your wisdom in front, the challenge will crush you. He said, but if you put me in front, they have to deal with me, not you. And if you want to put me in front, shut your mouth. Say what I said. Follow my instruction. Leave the rest for me. Can somebody shout hallelujah? I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. All this life of wahala and anger. What has it benefited anybody, for God's sake? The Bible said the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Oh, this is boiling like hot water. Is that the life Jesus gave us? What life he gave us? A humble life that says, all I do is the will of the Father. That's all. And when they killed him, they abused him, called in him. They say, you say you believe in God. Let him save you now. On the third day, one angel showed up. Not two, one. All those soldiers cracked everywhere. That stone, boom, out of the way. He rose up in glory. Today, at the name of Jesus, every knee is bowed. God says, let me lift you up. You won't let him. When you go to your job, for God's sake, please make yourself nothing. Stop all this fighting and quarreling, gossiping groups. You have group fellowship, gossip fellowship, and you are their pastor there. Every gossip, you must pass it across. Talk. See all this fellowship you join that all they do is gossip. Get out of there, my friend. What are you doing there? You are learning evil communication. It will finish your life. All you do is sit down and gossip. Some of them use the name of God and tell lies. Today is today, me and you. I've even left my sermon. Lord, I give you praise. I need you say anything you want to say. Oh my God. Look, this gospel, don't reject it. The Bible warned us not to reject this thing. Don't reject it. Don't reject it. The Bible taught us from Israel. When God brought them out of Egypt, they had this mindset of Egypt. They didn't have the mindset of the new land where they were going. So they were thinking of Egypt all the time, thinking of Egypt all the time. You can be a Christian, but the world is inside of you. You need to take the world what? Out of you. You come out of Egypt. Stop thinking in terms of Egypt now. Stop thinking in terms of, this is my weakness. You are an Egyptian in the heart, but you are not a Christian yet in the heart. That's why the Bible says that circumcision is that of the heart. Where your heart has been changed, a new thinking pattern comes. You start thinking in terms of the kingdom, in terms of all these things that Jesus said, this is the new life where you are. Stop thinking about Egypt. And then when they did that, they paid a great price. Look at Numbers 11. Numbers 11 verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell and lost it. And the children of Israel also wept again. Sorry. Numbers chapter 11 verse 4. Numbers 11 4. Let's wait. All right. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell and lost them. And the children of Israel also, what did they do? Again, which means they have been weeping. And said, who shall give us what? Flesh to eat. Continue. We remember the fish, which we did eat where? And how? They have forgotten their bondage. They forgot the labor they were doing. And they said, and the melon, watermelon, and the leeks, and the onion, and the garlic. How can somebody remember garlic? Garlic of all things. Huh? They didn't say, they say onubu soup is garlic. But now our soul is what? Dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Say, this manna God gave us is nonsense. Garlic, oh my God. Onions, yeah. Look at the description of the manna. And the manna was as what? Coriander seed. And the color thereof was the color of bedlam. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in meals or beat it into a mortar and baked it in the pan and made cakes out of it. And the taste of it was the taste of what? Fresh oil. And when the dew fell on it, upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses had the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was what? Kindled greatly. They rejected God's manna. Egypt was telling them, yes, you've been saved, but you need to take out the world out of it. Stop thinking like that. Don't be craving for what you used to be. Start thinking of the new manna that God gave you. And because they did not accept this manna, see what happened to them. See what happened to them. In Numbers 14, 22. Numbers 14, 22. Okay. Numbers 14, 22. Because of all these men now, who have seen my glory, my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now, these what? Temptations. And have not hearkened to my voice. Continue. Surely they shall not see the land, which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. Say, this promise, they won't enjoy it. Case closed. Why? Go to verse 28. Verse 28. Say unto them, all of them, as truly as I live, said the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so I will do to you. You see why he said, let my word come out of your mouth. So I will perform it. So we should not reject this manner now in the New Testament. John 6, 49. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. John 6, 49. And I did. Come on, we should be faster. John 6, 49. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are what? Dead. 50. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread, listen, he defined the bread, there's no confusion. And the bread that I'll give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He said, the bread I'm giving you is my life that is going to be crucified. Why? Because when I'm crucified, life will be offered to you. The same way that in the wilderness, they had to eat that manna to be alive. If they didn't eat, they would die. He said, I'm now offering my life. So by offering it, life will be made available. So my manna is my life, which I'm giving for the whole world. Now we reject that manna. We suffer what they suffered. Because he said, this manna is tasteless. This is their preaching all the time. Every time it is. Yeah, that's the manna. They ate it morning, afternoon. Did you realize that God never changed their diet? It was only that one manna. God doesn't have another Jesus. It's only one manna. That's the only life that was given for us. That was why God never changed that manna. Can I hear amen? Because there's no other manna given except this one. If you reject it, suffer the same fate. And we are warned. We are warned. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, New Living Translation. As God's partners, we beg you. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then do what? Ignore it. Don't go collect this manna and ignore it like they did. Don't do that. Let it be in your heart. Keep it in view. Say it with your mouth. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. Galatians 2:21. I do not treat the grace of God as what? Meaningless. Don't treat these things as meaningless. Don't ignore it. Don't treat it as meaningless. And then finally, Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into Israel, as any of you should seem to come short of it. The next verse now. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. The gospel came to them, they were going to go to a promised land. They missed out. But the word preached did not profit them because they rejected it, not being mixed with faith in them that had it. So we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So we should take this warning seriously and start focusing on the gospel, praying about it. Paul said, I traveled. Don't kid yourself. The enemy will try to steal these words from any Christian because he doesn't want it to stay. He will try to make you look down on that manna because it tastes like fresh oil. So how can this thing, how can it work? What's all this they're talking about? Yes, that's the only manna God gave us. Jesus said, my manna is my life, which I gave for you. Can I hear amen? I want us to bow our heads to pray.